Be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message today is God's Priceless Treasure. Just before I read the text, I want to tell you that last night, Beverly and I were going for a walk. The neighbor who always likes to kid me on Saturday night before Sunday morning, because I have not yet been able to get him here, but I shall. He always asks me, "Hey, preach, what you talking about tomorrow?" And I said, "God's priceless treasure." "Well, what's that?" I said, "Well, come in here." "Nah, what is it?" If you want the Reader's Digest of today's sermon, if you want the 30-second sermon, God's priceless treasure is Jesus. But listen to our text. Matthew 13. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found the treasure, he hid it again. In his joy, he went and sold everything that he had, and he bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he sold everything he had, and he bought it. Once again, the kingdom of God, the treasure of heaven, is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but they threw the bad away. And this is how it will be at the end of the age." I invite you to follow your sermon outline. It was handed to you in your handout as we consider again our theme, God's priceless treasure. Summertime brings all kinds of things with it. But around here, usually, I have two or three or four weddings. And one of the things that I really like to do and make a big deal of is when the couple comes in, I take her aside and say, let me see. And I look at the ring upon her finger and ooh and ah appropriately at the diamond ring that's often there. And those who work with diamonds tell us that there are four things they look for in a diamond. Four facets, if you will. Cut, clarity, carat, and color. It's important, they say, to examine this treasure from all four facets. Well, today, we are going to examine God's kingdom treasure, His priceless treasure, from three specific facets. They're on your outline. It's a hidden treasure, it's a priceless treasure, and it's a searching treasure. Facet number one, God's treasure is a hidden treasure. Verse 44 of our sermon text today says, it's like a treasure hidden in a field. Jesus is this wonderful treasure. He's the only treasure that brings lasting, eternal value that we can count on. On a personal note, these last weeks, Beverly and I have been experiencing a few things that have shaken up our family and our life at home, having to do with earthly treasures. And now they're here today and they're gone tomorrow. Let me tell you, all of our earthly treasures run out, rust out, wear out. They will let us down, but Jesus alone is the lasting treasure. He said the same thing in Matthew chapter 6. Listen to the words of Jesus. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Look at the altar this morning. You know where those flowers came from? Those flowers from the funeral of our dear brother in Christ, Clarence Sanford. We had a wonderful celebration of his life eternal here on Thursday. But if Clarence could speak to you today, besides giving you his opinion on how things should run in this world, in this church, he would tell you, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. They don't last. Our only true treasure is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the treasure. He offers to you and to all people treasures that are riches beyond comparison. What treasure could be more valuable than the forgiveness of your sins, of being made right with a holy and almighty God, of being given the gift of everlasting life in heaven? Today's text tells us, though, that this treasure is hidden. It's hidden in a field. This field is God's Word, the world, and the treasure is here to be found by us. But not only are we to find it for ourselves, we're to find it so we can give it away to others. The treasure of Jesus is here, hidden under such things as the preaching and teaching of His Word, hidden under such things as the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Sacrament, hidden under such things as the waters of baptism, hidden under such things as a fellowship of the church. The treasure is here, but it's hidden. It's especially hidden from those whom the Bible calls natural, sinful people. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2. Paul says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. He can't understand them, for they're spiritually appraised. On their own, sinful people, apart from God's Word and sacraments, cannot find the treasure." How many times have you heard someone say, I've heard my neighbor say it, how many times have you heard people say, "Oh, all that Jesus and God and church stuff doesn't make sense to me. I just don't get it. Not sure if I need it. Well, maybe I need it, but I don't understand it." Yet the treasure that is in Jesus is meant for all people. What has God told us in that single precious verse of John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The treasure is meant for all people. And this should remind us of the only two reasons of the church. The only two reasons the church exists: to strengthen our hold on Jesus, who is the treasure, and to reach out to others that they might understand this treasure is in Jesus and to grasp firmly upon Him. This brings us to facet number two of the treasure. God's treasure is a priceless treasure. In verse 45 and 46 of today's text, we read these words: "A merchant was looking for fine pearls, and when he found one pearl of great value, he went out and he sold everything he had to buy that one pearl." The phrase here, "great value," that's used in the Greek language, means the pearl was priceless. It was beyond measure. What a treasure. And this treasure, again, is whom? Jesus is the treasure. He is the pearl of great price. And Jesus' worth can be seen in His work that He accomplished for you and me. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich." This is called the great exchange. Jesus exchanged the riches of heaven. He exchanged the right of sitting at the right hand of the Father to come to this sinful world, to die for you, to die for me, to pay for our sins. He became poor to the point of giving His life on the cross for you and me, in exchange that we might receive the riches of heaven. Who got the short end of that deal? Let me ask you. Jesus is the treasure, and this treasure gave Himself for us. What a treasure. The St. Paul of the Apostle says that no treasure on this earth can even compare to this treasure. He says in Philippians 3, verse 7, Paul, "Whatever things were gained for me, those things I'd counted as loss for the sake of Christ. It's fascinating. Again, the Greek word here. Paul says, compared to the riches of this world, and Paul had it all. He was rich. He was famous. He was educated. He was powerful. He said, compared to knowing Christ, all of this is loss. And the word loss in the Greek language really is the word manure. Paul says, the riches of this world are nothing but a pile of manure. And take this from a farm boy who did a lot of this in his life. Good preparation for the ministry, I tell you. Paul says, the riches of this world are but a pile of manure compared to the treasure that's in Christ. That's exactly what Clarence would tell you today. No comparison. This brings us to the third and final facet of the treasure. God's treasure is a searching treasure. Jesus, the treasure, seeks us out. Verse 47 of the text says, the treasure is like a net that was let down into the lake, and it caught all kinds of fish. Here we see a picture of a dragnet fishing for us. You ever seen a dragnet? Boy, these days where Beverly and I live, on the south end of Two Road, at the river, and as it empties out into the Georgia Strait at Gary Point, boat after boat after boat these days going out with nets, fishing for fish. The text says the treasure which is Jesus is like a dragnet that God has let down. When fishermen let out a dragnet, they want to catch every single fish they can. They don't want to miss one. My friends, this is indeed the story of the entire Bible. God has gone fishing for us, for all people. And He doesn't want one to be lost. In the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against God, they tried to hide, but God went fishing for them. And He said, Adam, where are you? In Luke 15, we read what's been called the parable of the prodigal son. This young boy, lost in his sin and rebellion, deserving nothing but condemnation from his father. He ran from his father's house. But the father in the parable, who's a picture of our heavenly Father, went fishing for him. And what has to be my favorite single verse in the entire Bible, a verse that I'm preaching another funeral on tomorrow, a relative of a member. The text says, when that boy was a long way from home, the father saw him from a distance, went running to him, fell upon him and kissed him and hugged him and welcomed him home. In Luke chapter 19, we meet the dishonest, cheating tax collector, Zacchaeus. Jesus was passing through his town and there were so many people in this parade trying to see Jesus. Zacchaeus couldn't see him, so he ran up a tree and Jesus went fishing for him. Jesus, the treasure, went fishing for this cheating, dishonest tax collector named Zacchaeus. Came to the bottom of his tree, pointed up to Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, come on down, for today I'm coming to your house for supper. My friends, if you didn't hear me the first time, hear me again. This is the only reason, the very reason the Christian church exists. This is the only reason Trinity Lutheran Church exists. Not to throw a party for ourselves on Sunday morning and say, wasn't that a great party we threw for ourselves? The purpose we exist is to go fishing for those not yet in the kingdom. Every Christian congregation, every Christian person is to pray to God to open their eyes and hearts to find every caring and creative way to let out that dragnet that no fish shall be lost. The text says the catch will be accounted for on Judgment Day. Verse 48 says, Then the fishermen sat down and collected the good fish in baskets. They threw the bad away. This is how it'll be at the end of the age. My friends, your presence in heaven is only possible because Jesus, the treasure, sought you out when you were lost. He went fishing for you and brought you in. Anyone who is going to be in hell is not there because God desires it. It's because they refused the treasure that's in Jesus. But please note, God will stop at nothing to give His treasure to those who need it. I want to illustrate this truth by a final story of today's sermon, an event that happened over 87 years ago. Shortly after the Baptist Dallas Theological Seminary was opened in 1924, it almost closed. It was in a financial crisis. All the creditors were demanding their bills to be paid and planned to close the school down at 12 noon on a certain day. When I first came across this story, I couldn't believe it till I researched it, and it's true. That morning, the president of the school called his board together into his office and closed the door and prayed that God would somehow meet their need. One of the board members was a man by the name of Harry Ironside. And when it was his time to pray, Harry quoted Psalm 50, verse 10, that says, "O Lord, you own the cattle on a thousand hills. Sell some of them, Lord, and send us the money." Well, just about that time, a tall Texan from Dallas in cowboy boots came knocking on the secretary's door of the president of the seminary. And he said, and I quote, "Howdy. I've been trying to make a business deal with my cattle, but the deal just fell through, by golly. Well, I sold them anyhow, and I feel God wants me to give the money to your seminary. Don't know if you need it or not. Here's the check. See you later." The secretary took the check, and she gently tapped on the office door of the president where the prayer meeting was going on. When the president looked at the check and looked at the amount, his jaw dropped. The amount of the check was for the exact amount of the debt to the seminary. And then he recognized the name on the check as a famous cattleman from Dallas, and he turned to Harry Ironside and said, "Harry, God sold the cattle." God will stop at nothing to give His treasure to those who need it. Now, I know this as a fact because I've been in so many of your homes as your pastor. I know there are those for whom you are concerned, those for whom you pray, those that you reach out with the treasure who is Christ. Make no mistake about it. God will stop at nothing to give His treasure to those who need it. Don't you ever give up. Our Lord doesn't. Well, today, we've seen that Jesus is God's priceless treasure. He is the hidden treasure we can help others to find. He's the priceless treasure with whom no other earthly treasure can compare. He is the seeking treasure that seeks out sinners like you and me and all people. And in doing so, He shows us the very heart of God. My friends, all praise and honor and glory be to Jesus, God's priceless treasure. In the name of Jesus, amen.